Welcome to the All-Star Missions Podcast. My name is Peggy Nunley, and I'm the president of All-Star Missions. And I am so excited that you are here today. All-Star is a discipleship ministry, and we specialize in everything discipleship and everything missions. We love doing Jesus ministry in every nation, tribe, and tongue. And my prayer today is that you are blessed by today's discussion. Welcome to the podcast. Today we're going to be discussing embracing your season of singleness. And I just want to welcome Pam Wilson today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you.
So Pam, I'd like to start off and just ask for you to share a little bit of your personal story with us.
Absolutely. Well, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and so I knew of Jesus, but I really didn't know what he had to do with me personally. So I grew up looking for Prince Charming, Mr. Right, and knew that through Cinderella and Snow White that I would find that and I would get married and live happily ever after. Well, unfortunately, it didn't work out quite so well for me. At the age of 40, I had messed up my life so much. I had been with over 30 men. I had been with one female relationship, 3 abortions, 6 plastic surgeries. I had money. I had success. I had everything that the world said I needed to be happy, but yet I was extremely miserable. I started numbing myself with alcohol, became an alcoholic, drugs. I was married my first time, had a child, and I thought if there was still something missing when I held my little girl in my arms, and I thought, gosh, there's got to be more to life than this. My dad used to always say that. There's got to be more to life, but he didn't know the answer, so therefore he didn't share that with us. So at 40, I was in Southern California after all of these horrible mistakes, and me and my boyfriend at the time were invited to go to Saddleback Church, Pastor Rick Warren's church in Lake Forest, California. And that Sunday, I was sitting there, and I'm sure you guys can all relate to this, but it's like the pastor was just speaking to my heart directly. And I learned that he had written a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. So after church, I ran and got one. And never forget, June of 2004, sitting in my bedroom by myself, I opened that book. And it said, it's not about you. You are not an accident. You were created for a purpose. And I thought, that's what my dad has been searching for all along. So 20 days later, 20 chapters of that book later, I, Saturday night, again yet failing, porn, drugs, alcohol, had sex, woke up Sunday morning and I just hated who I had become. I was successful. I had money. I had everything the world said I needed, but yet I was miserable and I couldn't stop sinning. I could not stop doing wrong things. And so I just got on my knees on that Sunday morning and I said, Jesus, if you are real and you are what I have needed, please come in, fill me and complete me. And he did. Just at that moment, I was immediately delivered from myself. And I felt, for the first time in my life, complete. I felt clean. I felt pure. And so since that time, Peggy, in July of 2004, I have been 100% committed to my relationship with Jesus Christ.
Wow. That is a testimony of the beauty that God takes brokenness and makes wholeness.
Yes.
You know, I love that Jesus doesn't look for perfect people. But he actually seeks out those that recognize they have a need for him. And that day when you were in Saddleback Church and you got that book, God had been pursuing you long before that.
Amen.
Yes. But I think that was your moment.
It was. And one thing too, Peggy, is when I was back in the bars, when I was partying, there was something inside of me that made me feel like I wasn't supposed to be in there. It was the Holy Spirit at the time. Kept me from more things than I probably would have gotten into. But that was God back then just wooing me, continually wooing me. He was waiting, you know, for me. But he was there right when I asked.
That's beautiful. You know, Pam, so tell a little bit about like who you are, what you do. So I didn't give you a good introduction at the beginning of you know, what you're involved in, but I really want for people to know you, to recognize that, that they're just like you and that you're just like them and that you've got this incredible testimony in the story. But what I love about you is that you recognize that Jesus is the source to everything.
Yes.
And I think that just radiates from your story. It radiates from your life. Mm-hmm. It's the testimony of here in our office of the girls that have gotten to know you is that they love being with you because Jesus is your source.
Yes.
So yes. Share just a little bit about, you know, you, your profession and the ministry involvement that you have been in.
Yes. Okay. Wonderful. So I am a doctor of nurse anesthesia practice. So I do anesthesia. I have an office-based anesthesia practice. So I go around and basically my passion is underserved children. Mm-hmm. So I go all over the state and take care of them, getting their dental work done. And I put them to sleep so that they're comfortable and can have that done without trauma. My profession's been amazing in my life. And it's offered me the opportunity to be a platform for parents that are having a child go to sleep, right? And they're concerned. And I usually say, I just pray over my children every day when I put them to sleep. And I think it puts them at ease too, especially the ones that are more faith-based as well. And then also, as far as my ministry goes, I have taught high school girls for about 13 years and absolutely loved those girls. And because I was so transparent and I showed up a mess every Sunday, that God had taken and turned into my message for Him was just a way to really open up and show those girls that I am not perfect. I am sitting here broken, but I know the one that heals and restores.
Amen.
And makes just you brand new, a new heart. And so it was a beautiful time for me for 13 years to spend with those girls. And then just in the last 3 or 4 months, God had to literally just make it a no-brainer for me. And I've moved into women's ministry now. Mm-hmm. And so I have a ladies class, and they're single ladies or widowed ladies or ladies that their husbands don't go to church. And so I'm teaching that class now. I've been doing that about 3 months maybe and absolutely loving it.
I bet they love you too. And you're also an author.
I am. Yes, I've written a book. It's called The Purpose-Driven, not The Purpose-Driven Life. That's the one that saved me from myself. This one is, it's called Spirit Versus Flesh, A Constant Battle, because I feel people every day are struggling with their flesh and those sinful desires. And that's why I ask God daily to save me from myself. And so it just talks about my story and how I've learned over the last 16 years of celibacy, as sex was one of my gods before, as a celibate woman of 16 years, the only way I was able to do that is empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Well, so now you're engaging women's ministry. You've got singles, you've got widows,
yes.
and you have this testimony of 16 years of celibacy. And
yes.
And so I know that a lot of people that are listening right now, maybe they struggle with singleness. I hear that a lot with young girls that, you know, they don't ever imagine themselves. I mean, I've got some singles on my staff and, you know, they're all dreaming of, you
yes.
know, their knight in shining armor that's supposed to come,
yes.
you know, sweep them off their feet.
Mm.
But what I would really like to hit on today is, you know, one of the things that so impressed me when I met you the first time is that you talked about the calling and the season of singleness that God has gifted you with.
Yes.
And I would love for you just to share about what, first of all, what led you to look at that and say, this is a gift, this is a season
yes.
that God has given me,
mm-hmm.
and how you know that is the season that you're in.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, it says so beautifully in the Bible that God aligns the desires of our heart for His perfect will.
Mm-hmm.
And the desires of my heart have not really been to date for a very long time. And I do think that singleness provides a unique platform for mm-hmm. us. Now, let me just go over this first. Our identity in Christ is permanent, never changing. Regardless if you're single, if you're married,
mm-hmm.
that identity is you are loved, you are accepted, you are forgiven, you are complete in Christ alone.
Yes.
So, but the singleness is something that can be, it's very temporary, right? It can change while you're on this earth, right? I was married and then divorced, and I've decided to stay that way because I feel like that's where God wants me to be. Now, the reason I think is because I've not had the desires to date. And I do believe that God aligns the desires of our heart with his perfect will for our lives. And so that's my biggest thing right now is just no desire. Also, singleness is that unique platform that we as Christ followers can have that basically shows the world a beautiful picture of undivided devotion that Christ has for his church. And it's going to be an eternal relationship. We're not married in heaven. We are married here, and that's earthly, and that could be temporary, but it's just a season. Some of us will only be in a season of singleness for a little while. But what I want to challenge the listeners to do is, during this time of singleness, use it. Use it to serve the Lord and have that undivided devotion. But I think most importantly, the world is looking at us who are single and are going, we can show them that Christ is the ultimate sacrifice, you know, satisfies us and it's all sufficient. We don't need he's the only one true soulmate, because I think regardless of being married or single, ultimately we all realize he is the only one that will truly satisfy us and complete us. No one else will.
Amen. You know, I agree with you. I know that I didn't get married till I was 25, and that may sound young to some. It might sound old to others. But one of the things that I loved is that when I got married, I already knew who my first husband was.
Wow.
Jesus was my first husband. And I tell young girls today that if they will embrace Jesus as their husband, you know, my husband can't complete me.
No.
You know, marriage is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's something that God has designed.
Yes.
However, it was never meant to complete us.
No.
And I think the world has led, especially culturally, that we're looking for that soulmate. We're looking for that knight in shining armor. We're looking for that person that's supposed to somehow complete a lacking part in us.
Absolutely.
But what I knew at an early age was that Jesus was all that I needed.
Yes.
And so when I met my husband, in all honesty, I believe that I can love him better if I don't believe that I need him to complete me.
Absolutely.
And so Jesus, when he's your first husband, when he's your identity, then it actually frees you from needing to try to complete that in your marriage. And my husband was the same thing. He was 30 when I met him. And he already knew who he was in Jesus. So what I love about, you know, that context of marriage is that we both came in and we knew that being single, we were advancing the kingdom of God.
Yes.
But how we knew we were supposed to be married is that we recognized that when we joined together, we could advance his kingdom even more.
Wow. That's powerful.
And so I didn't complete him. He didn't complete me.
Yes.
But Jesus completed us.
Amen.
But I learned in singleness that Jesus had to complete me first. And that's what I hear you saying,
yes,
is that the satisfaction, the completeness, your identity, when we find it in Jesus, then we're not looking for that in something else.
That's exactly right. And relationships aren't going to be healthy if you're looking for someone else to complete you. It puts an undue strain on someone else to complete you.
Yes.
It doesn't work. And I think if we can raise our girls up these days and saying, look, they're not going to complete and fulfill you. We've been there. We've done that. It doesn't work that way. Jesus is the only one to complete you. And then you can go into a relationship already complete.
Yes.
Then you're not looking for anyone else or anything. Nothing external is going to complete us. Mm-hmm. It only comes from within, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's good. You know, there's a lot of benefits to singleness.
Yes.
And I know in my earlier days that, you know, I was involved in missionary work. Mm. And so, you know, I was on staff here at All-Star Missions as a single lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally I went to probably 30 nations, taking teams, setting up for teams, meeting. Now, being married, I would have never been able to do that.
Yes.
It would have been very difficult. It would have put a strain on my marriage.
Yes.
However, in that season of singleness that God gifted me with, I was able to go places, do things, be freed up
yes.
to do things in His kingdom that I have no regrets for.
Yes.
And when I look back on my days of singleness, I'm so thankful for them. They were such a blessing to me.
Yes.
And I know some things that you have expressed to me that there's a lot of benefits to being single.
Yes.
What are some of those benefits that you look at and say, you know, if I was married, I wouldn't be able to do this, but because God has gifted me with this in this season,
yes.
I now can take advantage of being single in order to fulfill what He's called me to do.
Amen. That's so true and so good. The undivided devotion that we can have for Christ and Christ alone is absolutely amazing. And it gives me a lot more time to spend with Him and Him alone. Mm-hmm. Also, people, you know, they look at their spouse, if you will. They're dependent on them for certain things, for physical needs. But God's will is ultimately should be our ultimate goal and our sacrifice in life is to fulfill God's perfect will. And so through time and through service to the church and through lack of commitments with an earthly relationship, I find that I have so much more time and energy to spend in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And it has just allowed me a lot of opportunities that I wouldn't have if I had an earthly relationship. I don't want to share my time. I love my time with Jesus. And I just have, it's a girl's house and we have girl fun and it's just the way it is, you know. So I love it.
That's
I wouldn't
good.
Change it.
That's good. So those are some of the benefits. Those are some of the blessings.
Yes.
What are some things that are difficult? You know, I know there's a lot of young girls that, you know, they feel lonely.
Mm.
You know, they struggle with the wondering, you know, what does my future hold?
Yes.
And in their season of singleness, sometimes they're so focused on what they don't have that they don't embrace what they do have.
Yes.
And so I know there's some difficulties even in singleness. What are some of those that you have had to face?
Yes.
And how have you been able to tackle those difficulties and find Christ's sufficiency in them?
Yes, that's beautiful. Well, basically for me, one of the hardest things I feel like for me as being single is like when I'm sick, I have to go get my own medicine and my own soup and things like that. That's really hard for me because I'm so busy. It's so hard for me to do things like that. And that's just a really minute thing. For me, though, I'm going to be very honest with you, Peggy. I have never felt lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's really interesting. I know I'm very busy, and I keep myself very busy, not just with my service to the Lord, but also with my job. So I'm very busy. I'm very work-oriented and that kind of thing, but I've never felt alone. Now, that's just a miracle from God and God alone. But you know what, though? I felt more lonely in relationships and in my marriage than I have since I've been single and alone. So the loneliness for me, I know that's probably the most scary thing for a lot of people is to be alone. But I can assure you that there is an amazing ability for you to, when you put your dependence on God and God alone to satisfy your needs, He provides and then some. So the dependency, just like when you have a child, a toddler, they're dependent on you. Your pets are dependent on you. So when something is dependent on you, that bond, I think, is bigger and greater than it could be if you didn't depend on somebody and you were independent of them, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. And, you know, and I agree with you that I think a lot of times that there's a stigma that if you're single, that you're lonely or that you struggle with loneliness.
Yes.
But what I've discovered is that you can be, like you said, lonely in relationships.
Yes.
You can be lonely in marriage.
Yes.
You can be lonely in a room full of people.
Yes.
Singleness isn't a qualifier for loneliness.
Right.
However, I believe that the route to our loneliness is meant to drive us to deeper relationship with Jesus.
100%. And yes.
So if you are listening right now and you struggle with loneliness, you know, we don't want you to feel any condemnation. We don't want you to feel like you're alone because you're not. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5 that Jesus said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And you know, when I was single, I really clung to that. There was a season that I went to West Africa, and I was there for 7 months. Yes. And I was outside of my culture, outside of relationships that were familiar. I was outside of my language. Mm. And, you know, I got sick while I was there. And so I had some really hard times. Mm. However,
yes,
I never felt alone.
Wow. Right.
And so I identify with what you're saying. And I believe the reason I didn't is because I was walking in the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
And he was meeting that place of need for me.
Amen.
And I believe that if you're listening today and you struggle with loneliness, Jesus wants to meet that need in you too.
Yes.
He wants to curl up next to you. He wants to hold you. Mm. He wants to be the one that your heart longs for.
Yes.
He wants to be the one to speak over you and affirm his plans, his purposes, his love for you.
Yes.
In fact, the Bible says that he sings over us.
Yes, yes, I love that.
And so, you know, loneliness is really not unlike other things that we feel,
right,
when we misplace our affections.
That's it. Misplace it. I love that. Yes. So true.
Yeah.
Mm.
So let me ask you this. What would you tell someone that isn't married but isn't sure if they're called to singleness, or how do they recognize that this is a season of singleness?
Yes. Well, you know, basically, I think singleness is a season, and it can be temporary, or it can be, you know, long-term through the earthly relationship. But ultimately, like I've said, the singleness is eternal. That's what we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be single, and our ultimate devotion is going to be to Christ and Christ alone. So for those of you right now that are out there and you're single and you're wondering if God has, you know, this perfect person for you here. Well, first of all, let me tell you, there's no perfect person.
Amen.
Here.
Amen.
We all are imperfect humans, and that's why relationships have to have Christ and Christ at the center. But I would say for those of you who do want to get married, and I understand that, we want to all get married and have a family, and that's just part of us as it's humans. You know, we are supposed to be meant to be in relationships together, whether that be through a marriage relationship or through friendships or whatever. But I would say to you, one thing I didn't do and I have not experienced in my life is doing relationships God's way. Mm. So I always had sex after the first or second date. God's way is staying pure until marriage.
That's good.
And when you do it that way, I want to know, because I have not personally experienced that before, and I can't experience it now because I'm not a virgin. But you girls that are out there, I challenge you, you will be blessed beyond belief if you do the relationship, girls and boys both, guys, God's way, where you're pure until marriage. But I do believe that there are some of us that are called to singleness here on earth, just like Paul. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you're single, stay single. Mm-hmm. If you're married, stay married. He says, I say that to try to keep you from the troubles that marriage can cause. So, that, you know, Jesus was single, obviously. Paul and most of the disciples were single. And so there's nothing wrong with singleness. And like I said, there's such a unique platform for us to use to show people in the world that God ultimately satisfies all of our needs. Mm-hmm. But you know what? There's a point where God might bring somebody else into your life. But I'll tell you what, while you're single, be traveling and serving right in the center of God's perfect will and fulfilling the purpose that he created you to fulfill. While you're doing that, if somebody comes into your life, you know it was God that directed that guy to you and you to him. So just be serving and don't wait. Don't wait. Just move forward in your life and what God's got planned for you. And he will provide all of your needs, whether that's with a man, a woman, or him and him alone.
I love that. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Psalms 37:23. And it says that God directs the steps of the righteous and delights in the details of their lives. And I love that. Yes. Because, you know, I love the fact that I have a Father in heaven, that he directs my steps, but he doesn't just direct them. He's taking great delight in the details of my life.
Yes.
You know, I know so many young ladies that they become very distracted by looking for that relationship.
Yes.
That they miss the directing of the Lord. They miss so much of the blessing that God wants to pour out on them in those details.
Yes.
Because they're distracted looking for a relationship because somehow the enemy lies to them and leads them to believe that they have to make it happen.
Yes.
And I really honestly believe that if you're supposed to be married, you're not going to miss it.
No.
You're not going to accidentally, you know, end up with the wrong person because you obeyed God.
Yeah, exactly. And what a beautiful place to be, right there in the center of His perfect will. And if He has somebody for you, it's going to come during whenever His time is.
Right.
Yes.
And they're going to be someone that is running in the same spiritual capacity.
Mm.
It's going to be someone that will run with you.
Yes.
They're not going to be running behind you. They're not going to be way ahead of you.
Yes.
They're not going to drag you along the way. They're not. You're not going to have to try to pull them up spiritually.
Yes.
But you will be a great team to advance the kingdom of God together.
Amen. And equally yoked.
Yes.
Equally yoked. If you're there with somebody and somebody's along with you spiritually mature enough to match with you guys, don't let someone come into your life that isn't a Christian, if you're a Christ follower and hasn't grown in their walks and spiritual maturity. You need to be equally yoked in order to make that marriage work.
That's good. That's good. You know, something that, I feel like, and I want to talk to kind of our younger audience for a moment,
yes,
and then we'll kind of hit some of our older audience, but young girls, young men that are in junior high school, maybe the first couple years of college, often get very distracted.
Yes.
They often go from one relationship to another. And I really want to encourage you that if you're listening, that God has such beautiful purposes written over you, that there are assignments in different seasons of your life that He desires you to fulfill.
Yes.
And if your focus is so on that boy or that girl, often you will miss the opportunities that will actually never come back to you in the capacity that they come in that season of life. You know, I take students all over the world, and I love to see young men and young women, you know, embrace their really embrace their identity in Christ, but actually step out and step into missions.
Yes.
You know, as a young man or a young woman, you know, you have your summers typically off. You have spring break. You've got fall break. You've got Christmas break. You know, if you're in college, you know, you've got your summers off. And these are moments that you can honestly tithe to the Lord.
Yes.
You know, it's an opportunity for you to go to be a part of advancing God's kingdom literally all around the world. And I have known students that have signed up for trips, and then they would get into a relationship, and because they didn't want to be away from that person, they decided to back out.
Wow.
And I look at that, and I try to counsel with them and encourage them, because when you are young, it may be, when you're young, you're trying to get old.
Yeah.
And when you're old, you're trying to get young again, right? But I want to encourage you, whatever season you're in, to embrace that season and just really pray and ask the Lord, God, how do you want to use this season of singleness in my life?
Yes.
How do you want to use the time that I don't have to work a job?
Yeah.
That I don't have to worry about kids?
Yes.
That I don't have a spouse that I'm coming home to?
Yes.
But that I still have this window of opportunity to be used in unique ways to advance God's kingdom.
Amen. That's beautiful. And I think, Peggy, if they relentlessly pursue God, like they are relentlessly pursuing a relationship, wow, what a beautiful thing that would be of just commitment, complete devotion to God and relentlessly pursuing Him. And through that, if God has somebody planned for you, He will make it happen.
Yes, He will. And you know, the best place to meet the person that God may have for you is in the center of His will.
Amen.
For you.
Yes.
Right? That's the best
Yes.
place to meet them.
Yes. Beautiful.
So now I'd like to just ask you, I know that you've been married.
Yes.
And I know that there are those that are listening that have had a failed marriage.
Yes.
Or they have been widowed. Mm-hmm. And they're having to learn to re-embrace singleness.
Yes.
They're in a unique season, and maybe there's been grief, there's been loss, there's been regret. Yes. What would you say to them to encourage them on how to embrace singleness and the season God has given them after they have had that failed marriage, or they've been widowed, or whatever circumstance it is? How would you speak words of encouragement for this new season for them?
Yes. So when I was divorced my second time and moved back from California to Oklahoma, I was with my daughter, and it was just us. And I moved back to Oklahoma because my family was here, my brother and my father. And, you know, initially it was a little bit lonely, and I thought, gosh, should I go back to Tom, or should I do this, or should I do that? And initially I was kind of looking for maybe someone else to, whatever, sexually or whatever. I didn't really know what God had for me initially, but over time I just realized that I was not alone. As long as I was still and just focused on my time with the Lord, He just filled and completed me. So you might be alone physically, but let me tell you what, girls and boys, you are not alone. Christ is in you. He's the only one that's actually going to keep you from being alone, because like I've said before, I felt more alone in some of my marriage and in my relationships than I have being actually physically alone. And singleness is not only a gift for as long as it lasts, it is a God-given opportunity to focus solely on Him for that period of time. So I just challenge you, get into a small group at church of women. That is a beautiful way to devote yourselves to that. That's what I did when I came back to Oklahoma, was I started a single ladies class, and we were all there for each other within the season. So embrace people around you that are like-minded, following the Lord, and also are in this season that you're in. That'll help you in other relationships. It doesn't have to be an earthly marriage relationship or a physical relationship. It can just be friendships, and those are almost more fulfilling sometimes than our marriages are. I have so much fun in my home with just girls. We just have girls in my home, and it's just so much fun. The only man allowed is my dog Noah and God. That's it. And we just have so much fun. So I just challenge you in this season to not look at it as a problem to be solved, but an opportunity to be seized. That's during good. This time.
That is so good. You know, and I love what you're saying, community.
Yes.
We were created for community. Yes. When I think back to Genesis, you know, Adam was created not to be alone, and so God created Eve, yes. But it was about community. And yes. We see that all throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament. Yes. You know, Jesus said to go and make disciples.
Yes.
You know, everything is about us reflecting the image of God back to Himself.
Amen.
And whether you are young or you're older, or you're in this unique season of singleness, and maybe you weren't prepared for it, maybe you weren't ready for it, or maybe it's brand new to you. Remember, Jesus is your husband. He's your maker.
Yes.
He's the lover of our soul.
Yes.
And He is always enough.
Yes.
And whatever need you have, our need has been hand-designed by God to drive us to His presence.
Yes.
And His presence is enough. And, you know, you might be listening to this and you're not single. Maybe you're married, but you feel very lonely. And maybe you feel very isolated. I want to encourage you, reach out to others in the season you're in.
Yes.
You know, Pam, I thought that was so good, you know, that when you came back, you found a group of ladies.
Yes.
And you planted yourself in community.
That's right.
And God wants to use community to pour into us in areas. But, you know, we were created for that.
Yes.
But foremost, we were created for Him.
Yes. Yes.
Pam, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
I would just like to ask if you would pray over those that have been listening today.
Yes.
And just asking the Lord to empower them in whatever season they're walking.
Yes, I'd be happy to. Thank you for the opportunity. God, thank you so much for who you are. God, thank you so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to pay the price, God, for us, the ultimate sacrifice, God, so that we could be forgiven, that we could be loved, that we could be accepted, that we could be clean, that we could be pure, God. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus. And God, I just ask right now, these women and men that are listening out there, or young girls, or young boys, that God, that you just show them that you are the ultimate, that you are the only one who will truly satisfy all of our needs, whether you're married, whether you're single. I just ask, God, that you just reveal yourself to them, God, and regardless of us, if we're married or if we're single right now, if we're looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, God, help them to understand that you are the only one true soulmate. And God, I just ask them right now, God, that they would relentlessly pursue you, God, and through that relentless pursuit of you, God, that they would find that person that you have them to walk with here on earth, God, if that is your plan, God, and that they would be powerful together to impact your kingdom together, God. And those of us who are single right now, God, that we wouldn't be self-pitied and we wouldn't be sad and we wouldn't be disappointed with where we are right now, God, but that we would just embrace the opportunity, God, to seize this time to impact your kingdom, God, and to speak truth into the world that's looking all over for us, God. They're looking at us, and that we are showing them that you are all sufficient, that you are all satisfying. So I just pray right now, God, regardless of what season these people are in that are listening, God, that you would just touch them, God, and reveal your perfect will to them and let them know that through the intimate and intricate details of each of their lives, God, you will meet them and you will direct their steps. Thank you so much, God, for who you are, that you give your unfailing love to us, God. And that you show that through your son, Jesus. I thank you so much, God, and we ask all of these things in your precious and holy son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I thank you guys for listening today, and I pray that you will be blessed by what you've heard.